This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Michael Monks. Public libraries have taken on the task of finding their place in the digital age, but the treasured community resources are also finding their employees taking on other responsibilities too. Librarians are doing more than cataloging, researching, helping patrons, and hosting events. In many ways, libraries are performing the role of a social service agency, and librarians are acting as social workers. The Public Library of Cincinnati and Hamilton County's downtown branch is one of the busiest in the country, and it's also a place where people struggling with homelessness and poverty are finding more than books. Joining Cincinnati Edition to discuss the new role of librarians are the Public Library of Cincinnati and Hamilton County Senior Library Services Assistant, Corinna Kuhl. Welcome, Corinna.
Thank you for having me.
Civic Engagement Coordinator at the Library, David Siders. Welcome back, David.
Thank you, Michael.
And WCPO photojournalist Emily Maxwell, who profiled the library recently. Welcome, Emily.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
You can join our conversation today at 513-419-7100. Talk at WVXU.org is our email address, or find us on Facebook or Twitter. We'll look for your comments and your tweets and get some of those into the show as well. Emily, let's start with you, because you and your fellow WCPO journalist Lucy May recently profiled the downtown library. Tell us what you saw there.
Yeah. So Lucy and I cover a lot of stories on poverty in the region together. And one thing that always comes up are people experiencing homelessness talking about the library as sort of a refuge from the streets. And so this is a story that I've been wanting to do for a long time. And so we went there, we shadowed David and Karina, and we spoke with a young gentleman there who's experiencing homelessness. He actually had just gotten off the street and was living with his grandmother, but he was telling us about how it was a refuge from the elements when it was really cold outside. He knew that he could go to the library and spend a few days on the or just spend the daytime on the computer and just kind of have some sort of normalcy.
When did the shift begin for libraries to answer this call for the disadvantaged population?
Well, for years we've had a mission to connect people with the world of ideas and information. And at the same time, we have strong values to uphold and promote equity, diversity, and inclusion. So we've always met people where they are. But Emily got me thinking about this during that piece she and Lucy did. I would say roughly in my experience around 2008, when there was some economic collapse across the United States, and we saw people of all walks of life coming in seeking job help or saying their life was interrupted economically and in their workplace. They had to look for new employment, and they really relied on that safe refuge that Emily just spoke of, but also our computers to apply for jobs.
But the library's role as sort of a daytime place of gathering for the homeless population, that dates back much farther than the economic collapse. In preparing for this, I was looking up some academic journal articles and saw one from 1985 that explored this phenomenon.
Yeah, generally, we look at the 1980s as being kind of a turning point where exponentially more people became or experienced homelessness across the United States.
Okay, so Karina, what are some of the tools that are being deployed in the local library system to handle this?
Well, we have a lot of people who come in, as David said, and use our computers, but now we have job readiness classes. Our partnership with Cincinnati Works facilitates job readiness courses in our tech center on Monday mornings. Other opportunities are just deeper partnerships with other agencies in the community that allow us to kind of refer people as they come in based on what their needs are to social workers and people who can help them.
We talked about this issue when the movie The Public came out. We had a panel discussion about this featuring you, David, from the library and some representatives from organizations in the region that serve the homeless population more specifically. And that film, The Public, explored the issue of homelessness and people's rights as they relate to housing and the library. And the Emilio Estevez-directed picture was shot right here in Cincinnati at the downtown library. So I'm wondering what kind of impact you're seeing from that movie in the months since its release. I think when we did this, the movie had just come out.
Well, I think community-wise and internally with our staff, it was all an opportunity to raise pretty intense awareness of particular issues. And as we spoke before, the opportunity to think about people experiencing homelessness is a broader problem than just what was depicted in the movie. So I think our staff has become more sensitive, more aware, and more keen on relationship building with our individual community members that come in, just a greater sense of compassion. We've had lots of questions from the community, lots of questions and kudos from colleagues about the reality of our public library when they looked at the fictionalized aspect of the movie. So it's a raised community members' awareness, too, that we are that safe haven that Emily and Karina are talking about today, plus all the resources that we offer.
What about the customers that you have on a regular basis who aren't struggling or aren't in need of social services, folks that just come to the library for more traditional uses of that of the place? Is there any discomfort expressed by them about the homeless population at the library?
I think that when you enter a public space, which it seems like there are fewer and fewer of them today, you rub up against people who come from all walks of life, and that can sometimes be uncomfortable. It's something that we're not always used to in this day and age. When I see discomfort, I try to remind people either by my actions or in words that this is a public space and it's for everyone. And sometimes I can do that by just reaching out to the person who maybe the individual who's making people uncomfortable and greeting them with a smile and kind of saying to everyone else, hey, this is okay. Or, you know, I know this person. But yeah, of course there is some discomfort sometimes, but I think that people grow and learn from it.
You can join our conversation at 513-419-7100. Emily, did you talk to anyone while you all were profiling the library and the folks who were there who expressed any displeasure or discomfort with the population that are there?
We did not. Most of the people that we approached, actually everyone had just positive things to say about the library. And then most of the people we spoke with either, we did speak to one gentleman who lived around the corner and he'd been going to the library for years. And for him, it's more of a place of community. He was, he's an older gentleman and he was saying how he's diabetic. And there have been times at the library where people, because he goes there so frequently, they know, they can tell when he's about to go into spell and they check on him. And I think people kind of know that going to, especially the downtown library, that it's a place of community.
So librarians and people who work in the library being able to recognize those types of symptoms, what type of training are librarians going through in order to be prepared for this new variety of situations that they encounter?
Well, over the past couple of years, we've had annual staff training events, staff development events at the Community Action Agency and other locations where we learn about their services. For example, we bring other organizations and strategies to end homelessness has come in. And actually, recently, Lighthouse Youth Services came to do a training session for our teen librarians to support their KEYS initiative, which targets 18 to 24-year-olds to prevent possible homelessness of that age and demographic. It was really interesting to see the response of our teen librarians. They just, you could tell they were very pensive and thoughtful and reflecting on experiences of particular teens and young people that they've experienced in their libraries across the system and at Maine Library, and had a very thoughtful response of how can we help. We clarified how they can connect to Lighthouse if they have a concern about a particular individual person. So it's not only kind of hands-on training, but also food for thought for our staff to think about these issues and think about what each person's role is as a staff member and how they can better connect with people in need.
What about college programs, the library science programs that universities host? Is there any alteration to those programs to prepare future librarians for what they may encounter now?
That is a really good question. One thing I can say to that is our library profession, including conferences and extended learning opportunities, is really focusing on community and civic engagement now. So I can speak to the profession providing many more opportunities to learn about how we can better promote equity, diversity, and inclusion, the idea of understanding cycles of poverty and other impacts in our community where libraries can better respond. If you think about the curriculum of library science programs, they're just kind of blowing up with all kinds of new technology and how we engage people. But I can't speak exactly or give examples of specific courses, but that's a good question that I'll look into.
Why do people experiencing homelessness turn to the library? outside of the obvious need for shelter?
I think there's a comfort in knowing that they can come into a space and as you said, get shelter and use a public restroom, but also encounter people who aren't going to look at them any different or treat them any different because of the way that they look. We all try to be very welcoming and kind and generous, and there are many people who come in every day and never interact with us. I've had experiences where it has taken me 3 years of smiling at someone every single day before they finally come up and say hello. And that's okay. But I think it is like a comfort and security kind of thing. People want to go to a place that's familiar and a place that feels like it belongs a little bit to them. And the library does.
I'll add to that, it's kind of a twofold dynamic, that, similar to what Karina's saying. People come in for either that sense of community and welcoming spirit and actually meet up with other people. But also we see people, like Karina said, that want to be alone. And our buildings have spaces where people can be quiet, keep to themselves, feel safe and secure, and have that normalizing, more comfortable experience also. So it's really neat to think about the two kinds of options there.
And Emily, you spoke to some of the people who do experience homelessness and turn to the library and tell us about their experiences.
I know that I think one thing that from this reporting that was echoed over and over again by David and Karina is that equity of accessibility, people are already at the library. And so I feel like the library has become this place where they know that they can get these services. I know one thing that you guys both talked about was providing faxing for Jobs and Family Services. And a lot of times people that are in these situations, they don't have access to those resources. So I think nowadays, this new library that we have, it's giving people those resources that they can depend on.
This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. Thanks for listening to Cincinnati Edition On Demand. Did you know you can have the show delivered straight to your smartphone every day? Just go to your favorite podcast listening app, search Cincinnati Edition, and subscribe. You'll be able to keep up with all our great conversations with newsmakers, public officials, and other interesting people from the greater Cincinnati region and beyond on the go, anytime, anywhere. It's great for those days you can't tune in to catch us live. Weekdays at noon on 91.7 WVXU. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Michael Monks. We continue our look at the changing role of the libraries with Public Library of Cincinnati and Hamilton County Senior Library Services Assistant Karina Kuhl. Welcome, Karina. Civic Engagement Coordinator David Siders. Welcome, David. And WCPO photojournalist Emily Maxwell, who profiled the library recently. Welcome, Emily. Join our conversation at 513-419-7100. You can email talk at wvxu.org or find us on Facebook or Twitter. We'll look for your comments and your tweets. So as we explore this topic and the additional resources that are being deployed at the library to assist the population that is turning to it for reasons beyond its more traditional means, I'm curious about how you handle any pushback from concerned taxpayers who say, look, this is not what a library is supposed to be for. We fund the library with our dollars. What's your answer?
One thing I want to speak to is we have a standards of behavior, and that gets to safety and security in all of our locations. We are well-trained and pretty passionate about enforcing standards of behavior. So without getting into the weeds on that, it's basically a mechanism that we engage people that might be engaging in behavior that is inappropriate for anyone to experience. Those standards of behavior apply to every person. So we have a built-in systematic way to address behavior. And of course, we do that humanely and compassionately. I frankly haven't had any direct contact from someone that's not happy about tax dollars per se. So everyday behavior is monitored. We keep our library safe and comfortable for everybody. And I haven't had any concern.
But how does this evolution then fit the mission statement of the library system?
Well, what I'd like to say is, as we talked about, our mission is to connect people with a world of ideas guided by strong values of equity and diversity. and inclusion. These guiding principles have fueled how our roles have changed. We're not diminishing the value of books. We're not diminishing the tradition of libraries and traditional library services, but we're enhancing our services and connections to community resources and that social work vibe that we're talking about to reflect our changing social climate and the needs of our community members. We're keeping up with the times.
513-419-7100 is the number to call to join our conversation. Let's go to the phones now. We have Donna on the line. Hi, Donna. What's your question or comment? Is Donna there?
Hello.
Hi, go ahead with your question or comment.
I think I can detect from the voices of the people that are working there at the library that there is some sort of a reward that they're getting. They seem to be very passionate about their experience working with people in the community that are experiencing homelessness. And I just wondered if they could talk about that.
Okay, Donna, thanks for the call. We'll let the panel answer.
Thank you, Donna. I think you're absolutely right. I have been at the library for 6 years now, and it is absolutely the most rewarding position I've ever been in. Every single day, I get to help connect people to resources or just say hello and make them feel like a person. And I have to say that I've never experienced a group of people, meaning our staff, who more intuitively and generously are consistently always working to make the library more comfortable for people and do whatever they can to really break down barriers for people who need help.
We got an email from a listener, Patricia. She says, I'm so sad to see what libraries have become. Libraries are for learning, not homeless shelters. I've been to the downtown library, where the smell in the bathroom is unbearable. 513-419-7100 is the number. Diane is up next. Hi, Diane. What's your question or comment?
Hi, Diane. Hi, this is Diane, and I'd like to compliment and acknowledge the staff for using the term experiencing homelessness. My granddaughter, my 15-year-old granddaughter, actually corrected me not too long ago and said, they are not homeless people. They are people experiencing homelessness. So she learned that at Mount Notre Dame and, raised my consciousness. So I noticed that you also used that phrase and much appreciated.
Thank you, Diane. We appreciate the call. What is the difference there? Because we see this language used, we've traditionally used homeless shelter for homeless people, and recently experiencing homeless has been a desired term by activists who support these folks. Why the change?
First and foremost, we use people-first language, and I think Karina commented just a couple of moments ago on we welcome people and greet them and create normalizing experiences and just make sure they feel like they're welcome and they're a person that's valued. Beyond that, one thing I want to point out is libraries, and one thing I've loved about working in libraries for years, we always are kind of a reflection of the sign of the times, whether it's language or services or attitudes that we employ, attitudes of compassion in this case. But we also have community conversations where we talk about tough social issues, and that gives community members a chance to come to our libraries, talk about their worldview and feelings, and learn from others. So I think that example kind of exemplifies how we kind of accelerate new concepts, new terms, and how we talk about tough social issues. Like the caller that just said she learned from her granddaughter, the more we know and the more we keep up with what's going on in our world and the challenges, we're more informed. And I think that caller was a great example of that.
We heard from the listener, Patricia, who sent the email in, concerned about the way she sees what libraries have become, criticizing the condition of the bathroom. And, you know, these are comments that I often see on news coverage related to some of the urban bathrooms, urban libraries, whether it be Cincinnati. Covington also sees some of this criticism at the Kenton County Library, which serves this population as well. I know I asked you earlier, but are you not seeing these types of complaints in person at the library?
I don't think our day-to-day business is complaint-heavy on that. We have concerns, but again, we have that standards of behavior. And one interesting example is we've recently remodeled our atrium area of the main library with a fresh new look, and that includes the bathrooms, and it's more of an airport-style open-flow type of bathroom that I know for a fact it's reduced incidents. It's made people more comfortable. I've heard comments from a colleague just this week. I love the new bathrooms. I just feel more safe in them. So we're constantly seeking improvements. The other thing we're doing is we're in a facilities master plan process right now where we're holding community listening sessions at each and every location. Check out our website, cincinnatilibrary.org, for the session nearest you. And we're asking for community feedback. How can we improve our buildings? What would you like to see in our buildings that enhances the physical space? One common thing is, oh, we want community space where everyone feels welcome, but maybe a quiet reading nook. Maybe a place to do research in response to that email. We still have many, many resources and knowledgeable librarians for people to do the kind of research and reading that they want to do. But these opportunities for people to weigh in on how our buildings flow and what our buildings look like and how they feel is there too.
Emily, I'm wondering if in your reporting and in your discussions with people who use the library, whether you saw that their responses or their comments about the library could possibly be used to counter what could be described as myths about what goes on in the urban library?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, for the people that we talk to, it's more about they use the library for services. And I think that they're not just there to hang out all the time. They're actually there to try to work on improving their quality of life and using the internet to look for jobs and stuff. So it's not that the majority of them, I can't speak for all of them, are just sitting around and not doing anything productive.
I read an article in TechCrunch that was published this week. It explores the role of technology in libraries and how it is used by homeless people. And the article concluded with this quote: "Libraries are not the only ones that must adapt if we are to build a truly inclusive environment in tech. Startups, funding, even hardware makers should be looking at making it their responsibility, not just to reach higher heights, but to lift up the lowest among us." So with that in mind, what do you think those sectors could learn from libraries?
I have an example, and Karina can expound upon this. We engage in reentry services for people incarcerated at the Hamilton County Justice Center with the Hamilton County Office of Reentry, and we answer their questions and help them think about their future as they leave prison. And one of the most common aspirations and excitement for folks, individuals, is that makerspace that we have, that technology that you can hands-on do everything from make products to develop and support a small business to the actual computer technology, that kind of thing. So I think that example speaks to how we're leaders in the tech industry to give people opportunities for equipment that isn't easily accessible. I mean, we have a recording booth and we have a photography studio in addition to computers. So it's those kinds of resources that, I mean, where else can you find those kinds of things for free?
I think it is actually a huge question of accessibility when we think about tech in the future. I visit the exit pod at the Hamilton County Justice Center every Friday morning and work with the gentleman in the exit pod. And one of the biggest things that I can tell that they need is, or often need, is technology help. They may have been incarcerated for quite a while, and technology has moved on without them. So having that connection at the library is really helpful.
I also want to give... We'll have to leave it there. I'm sorry. We're out of time. But our thanks to Emily Maxwell, David Siders, and Karina Kuhl for joining us today for this conversation. Appreciate you being back.
Thank you.
Thank you.
You've been listening to Cincinnati Edition. The producer for today's show is Pete Reitmeier. The assistant producer is Selena Reeder. The technical director is Josh Elstro. I'm Michael Monks. Subscribe to our podcast at WVXU.org.